Our subject this morning is, when was Jesus born? I very seldom anymore give a message for the sake of interest alone. But that is what this message is for me this morning. There are outlines going around. If you want to work this morning, you're welcome to it. I came to this subject last year when I was studying and preparing messages on the Gospels. Matthew and Luke give us the account of the birth of Christ. From Jesus' birth until he began his ministry, only Luke gives us a very brief event in the life of Christ when he was about 12 years old. That's all we know from when he was a child until he was about 30 years old, when he began his ministry. After this, after he began his ministry, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about Jesus' baptism. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, he fasted for 40 days. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about that, but then they fall silent, and right there, John picks up the story. And I think, piecing together where Matthew, Mark, and Luke leave off, and where John picks up, we can come to within a month, or maybe even closer. I haven't had the time to study the last part out yet, as to when Jesus was born. It is that which I want to share with you this Christmas morning. I've worked on this since early last year sometime, off and on. Now, most authorities agree that Jesus was not born December the 25th. I have no problem with having remembering his birth on the 25th, but most authorities would agree he was not born December the 25th. By the way, I have a message on the internet. Should Christians keep Christmas? It's available there. But the question then remains, when was he actually born? It is interesting that the Lord has given us no clear date. He no doubt has very good reasons for that. But over the years, several methods have been used to determine the date of Christ's birth. And one of the main ones is taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And I'd like you to turn there. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm so glad I have a lot of time this morning. I trust you've got nothing that's going to burn in your ovens before 12 this morning. If you do, you can feel free to go. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah was John the Baptist's father, and he served during the course of Abijah. It was one of the 24 courses of priests that served the temple 2 weeks of the year and during the festivals. From Luke 1:5, rough calculations can be made to the time of the birth of John the Baptist. And from there, you only need to add 3 months and you have the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. There are a number of ways scholars have tried to find the date of Christ's birth, but for the sake of time, won't discuss those this morning. But nonetheless, I look forward to giving another way of calculating the date of Christ's birth, which could show us at least to the month the time of his birth. I discovered this possibility in preaching on the four Gospels when I covered the first few chapters. Our starting point and our text this morning is Luke chapter 23, chapter 3 and verse 23. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. And it says this: Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. And if you are reading the King James Version, it will be worded slightly different. We'll talk about that. We know that the time Jesus got baptized is not far from his birth date. We find it right here. That much is clear from this verse. What we will do is see if we can count forward until we come to a definite date. If so, and I believe we can, we should be able to arrive at least within a month of the birth of Christ. We begin then with Luke 3:23. The New King James Version says, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. The New King James has tried to help Luke out in a sentence that sounds very awkward when it is translated literally. The King James Version states it more literally, more correct, I believe, when it says, if you have the King James Version, you look at it, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. That is a very interesting way to word this. Darby's literal translation says it like this, and Jesus himself was beginning to be about 30 years of age. How do you begin to be about a certain age? Young's literal translation translates it exactly the same way because that's what it says, literally. So we have a very interesting verse. How do you begin to be about a certain age? And we're going to look at that later. Just prior to Luke 3:23, Jesus was baptized. Look at 21 through 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. The one thing that appears quite certain is that at Jesus' baptism, we are close to his birthday. Then we are given his genealogy in verses 23 through 38, if you just glance at that. So there is no passage of time between his baptism and when he began the 40 days of fasting. Mark says that immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, so it happened right after he was baptized, Mark 1:12. Now, if we can go forward from here and keep track of time and come to a definite date, we have a good possibility of coming close to the time when Christ was born. And so we begin at his baptism. His baptism is day one. Now, if you have your outlines, we're up to day two, days 2 through 41. Look at Matthew 4, 1 and 2. Now, we're going to cover a lot of scripture this morning. I trust you don't mind working Christmas morning. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. All that is quite simple so far. We have come 41 days from his baptism. And look carefully at verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And that's when the devil came to tempt him. So we are now into day 42. Now, we do not know how long this temptation took place, but I would think that it would have taken place in a day, in one day time. And look now at Matthew 4, verses 11 through 12. Then, this is right after the temptation. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, what you don't see is there's a large blank after this. Verse 12 says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, there's a lot of time that takes place in between these two verses. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not give us what happens between those two times. But what is most helpful in our case, as it is numerous other times, where the Synoptic Gospels, the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, leave out a section, the Gospel writer John picks up the account, and that is what we have here. The section left out by Matthew, Mark, and Luke is covered by John 1:19. Isn't it interesting that Dan stressed the Lamb this morning? That will be my stress this morning. So this section in John 1:19 through 5:47 is a large section, and it is the first part of this section in John that carefully gives us the days between Jesus' temptation and his arrival in Jerusalem for his first Passover, and that gives us the rough time of his birth date. If we can carefully count those dates, we can come very close to his birth date. And it is from John 1:19 through 2:13 that we are given some very interesting and crucial information, which leads us to a, I think, definite date within a certain space of time at least. And so likely on the same day Jesus was tempted by Satan, he made his way back to Bethabara where John was baptizing and where he himself had been baptized. One might add a date, but I think that is not necessary. So where Matthew, Mark, and Luke leave off, we go to John 1:19, a passage that has already been read for us this morning. So we're going to read 1:19 through 28, and because of time, I'm going to take time for these. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandals strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing and where Jesus, I believe, was baptized some 40 plus days earlier. When I was studying the messages for the Gospels, I read Alfred Edersheim. He wrote on the life of Christ, and he is a very thorough Christian Jewish scholar. And he calls the verses in John that we read the temptation of John the Baptist. He could have claimed to be Christ. He believes that John and Jesus were both tempted on the very same day. If that is so, then John 1:19 through 28 took place on the day Jesus was tempted himself. Now here may be a day or two difference, it's not too critical, but hardly likely anymore. So we are now at day 42 after his baptism. There was the day of Jesus' baptism, day 1, and the 40 days of fasting, 41, then the day of temptation, day 42. And if Edersheim is right on this, then I believe that from here on we can come to a fairly definite date. And so our next time marker, and it is very interesting in reading John how carefully he marks the days from this time until Passover. So look at 1:29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" This is what Dan pointed out to us this morning. So John says this happened on the next day. Here we are at day 43. I believe that this is also the day Jesus began his ministry. It is very likely that here, somewhere here, he turned 30 years of age. Why? Most scholars note that he began his ministry at 30, like the priests of the Old Testament. And here he also began to call his disciples, who will later become the foundation of the church. We come to another time marker in John 1:35 through 42. Again the next day, Jesus stood with two of his disciples and looking, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus. As he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and following after was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. This brings us to day 44. It is interesting that John so carefully notes the days here. Now note verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." This is the next day, day 45. It says Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. Well, that takes that day takes us from verses 43 through 51, and because of time, I think we'll read that. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit or guile." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." We are now in day 45. Jesus is beginning to call his disciples. His ministry has begun, and he is moving forward quickly. I believe he ministered just over 2 years, maybe around 2 years. I know that's different than most hold, but that is my view. We come to our next time marker in John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Here is what I gather. On day 45, Jesus went to Galilee from Bethabara. He arrived in the evening, and that begins day 46. That begins the first of the 3 days. He spends that day in Galilee. The next day he goes to Cana, since he and his new disciples have been invited to the wedding at Cana of Galilee. He arrives there on the 47th day and in the evening. And the next day the wedding begins. So we are now at day 47. At day 47 the wedding begins. Now, I believe that the wedding feast was a 7-day feast because of the amount of grape juice they used. There were 6 water pots, which would have contained from 20 to 30 gallons each. I won't read this. You're familiar with the story. That is about, anybody know how many gallons? 120 to 180, something like that. So no doubt we've got a long wedding feast. They were often 7 days, and I think that's what we have here. They had already depleted the amount they had expected they might use, and I expect from that this was quite a long feast. So we give it 7 days, which was quite normal for Jewish weddings. Then we have days 48 through 54 after his baptism. After the wedding at Cana, Jesus goes to Capernaum and spends a few days there. Look at John chapter 2, verse 12. After this, he went to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So we don't have a definite time, but it is not very long. So it is almost certain by the festivities of the wedding in Cana, if you're taking notes or something, you might want to jot down. It was likely a single woman that got married, not a widow. Maids got married on Wednesdays. Widows got married on Thursday. There were reasons for that. So Jesus would likely have left Cana on the next Wednesday. From Cana, he went to Capernaum. I would gather that he stayed there until after the Sabbath, because he wouldn't have traveled on the Sabbath, which takes us from day 55 to 58. John 2:12 says he did not stay there many days, so most likely he left right after the Sabbath, which was the fourth day after leaving Cana. So there we have days 55 through 58. Are you getting tired? Yeah. No. On day 59, Jesus starts out for Jerusalem. Look at John 2:13 now. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. We are not told by which road he went. I am not sure how long that took. I need to do more research here. We will give it a day, though it possibly took a few more days, especially if he visited on the way. But I'll give it day 59. We do not know how much time Jesus spent in Jerusalem, but it was likely a few days. He did cleanse the temple when he was there for the first of three times, which was early in his ministry. The other two were at the end. So he likely spent a few days there before the Passover. John 2:14 through 22 talk about the cleansing of the temple and so on. Well, let's read those. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then the disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So I will give this as possibly days 60 through 63. That's very close, I think. For our 64th day, we have John 2:13. Oh, well, this should be 64. 60 through 63 is the early one. This is John 2:13, the Passover day. So we have now arrived at a fixed date. Passover day. Anyone know what day was Passover day? 14th of Nisan. Nisan was the first month of the religious year, and on the 14th, Exodus chapter 12, you can read that. So if we give or take a few days, we are somewhere between 60 and 70 days from the time of his baptism. Somewhere in there he was born. And somewhere between those two dates, he was born, because Luke says he began to be about 30 years of age. Now, if our reckoning is correct to this point, then he was born somewhere in what time of the year? December 25th, fall, winter, spring, summer? Spring. Springtime of the year. Recently, I found a quote by John Gill, and I was really encouraged because I had done all my work, and then I read his quote from John 2:13 that adds some credibility to my calculations. Listen to John Gill. "This was the first Passover, after Christ's baptism, which is generally thought to have been about a half a year before, though so much time cannot be made out from the scriptural account. For from his baptism to his return out of the wilderness to John were 40 days, and from thence to his coming to Cana, 4 or 5 days more, and perhaps he might be 7 days in Cana, for so long a wedding was usually kept, and his stay at Capernaum was but a few days, all which do not amount to above 8 or 9 weeks. Can't be more than 8 or 9 weeks, according to John Gill. So he has arrived pretty well at the date I have arrived at, and so Christ was probably born somewhere between February and April. People are not agreed on when the lambing season took place, but we'll look at that here next. So with all that, let us now look at the significance of the wording in Luke 3:23 as it reads in the King James Version. Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. Now that is a very interesting expression. Luke makes some other very interesting statements, which if translated literally, do not seem to make sense in English unless one understands the historical situation, then they become very accurate. Let me give you an example. Go to this is a Christmas gift, long message. Acts chapter 13. Verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now you would not notice anything from the translation. The New King James Version says they begged that these words might be preached to them again the next Sabbath. But when you translate the original words literally, they requested that these words be preached again on the between Sabbath. On the between Sabbath. That's how it would literally read. Now, what is a between Sabbath? What I'm saying is, when Luke says Jesus began to be about, we have to give careful consideration to what he says. One explained these strange words like this. During certain feasts, the first and last days were called Sabbaths. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the fall feast, there was one like that. The first and last day were a Sabbath, but they could come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. So during certain feasts, the first and last days were called Sabbath because the people were not to work on those days. But these Sabbaths often happened between the regular seventh-day Sabbath. So they are called the between Sabbaths. To follow. So when Luke says Jesus began to be about 30 years of age, we need to pay careful attention to those words. What is most instructive in these words is that we are somewhere near the birthday of Christ. It is not the exact date of his birth, but near the date of his birth. This much is clear. We have seen that between Jesus' baptism and the Passover, there are 60 to 70 days. So we are close to Christ's birth. Now, it is important that we understand something here with regard to the Jewish year. If you've ever worked with calendars, you will find that it is a very, very complicated subject. The Jews used a lunar month. That means it goes by the month, but they used a solar year. You want to complicate things, just do that. But it keeps everything on target. The lunar month is, anybody know how long a lunar month is? 29 and a half days. It's very interesting when you study the universe and so on. 29 and a half days. So the Jewish months were 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, 20, kept it at 29 and a half. The lunar month is the month as determined by the moon, but there are about 11 days more than 12 lunar months in a solar year. So what happens? Every year, it slips back about 11 days. The solar year goes by the sun. So by using a solar year, their harvest time always stayed the same. If they would have kept the lunar month, the harvest would have always changed, as does the Muslim calendar today. So Ramadan is different times, different years. So to compensate for the 12-month lunar cycle and the extra 11 days each year, they had a 19-year cycle. And in a cycle of 19 years, they added one extra month 7 times. This extra month was added in the 3rd, the 6th, the 8th, the 11th, the 14th, the 17th, and the 19th year, and then they started all over again. Every year had 12 months, but in the spring of the leap years, the month Adar 2 was added to the regular Adar 1 month, which was 1 month before Nisan. By the way, the current cycle of 19 years began in the Jewish year 5758, which is on our calendar, October the 2nd, 1997. Now, all of this gets rather complicated, but in a time period of 3 years, say the first 3 years, the lambing season may move back as much as, may move forward as much as 22 days because their year has slipped back 20 days. You follow this? So if Jesus was born in the spring, this would have affected his birthday. And so Luke says, now Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So what is the significance of all this? Well, see, look, what if he was born in an 8 or 2 month? And the next 2 years you don't have an 8 or 2 months. When was he born? And 7 times in a 19-year cycle, this happened. So what is the significance of all this? Well, that brings us to some familiar verses from the Old Testament regarding the birth of Christ. You see, after the temple was built, and it was in a permanent place, special shepherds were trained to raise sheep for Israel's sacrificial days. They raised hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of sheep every year. These lambs were born around the area. Which area? Where? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And close to Bethlehem, well, let's go to Micah chapter 4, verse 8. These will be familiar verses for you from other Christmas times, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 4, verse 8. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Then chapter 5, verse 2, most familiar verse, to you, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So listen to this from Cooper P. Abrams. By the way, the Tower of the Flock, Migdal Adar. Migdal Adar. Here's Cooper P. Abrams' internet article. First, we know that Migdal Adar, the Tower of the Flock, was the watchtower that guarded the temple flocks that were being raised to serve as sacrificial animals in the temple. These were not just any flock and herd. The shepherds who kept them were men who were specifically trained for this royal task. They were educated in what an animal that was to be sacrificed had to be, and it was their job to make sure that none of the animals were hurt, damaged, or blemished. These lambs were apparently wrapped in swaddling cloths. Sound familiar? To protect them from injury, and also used to wrap the Lord Jesus, end quote. Now, in my studies over the past years, I have come to the conclusion that Jesus was born at Migdal Adar. Now, I didn't come to that conclusion myself. I got that from others, as given in the prophet Micah. That is very significant. That was the Tower of the Flock, a place where special sacrificial lambs were raised for the feasts of Israel. When the temple was built in Jerusalem and worship became permanent there, the special sacrificial lambs were raised around Bethlehem. As I understand it, they were birthed at Migdal Eder, which is near Bethlehem. We are told that at the birth of Christ, the shepherds were out in the fields at night. It is clear that at no time would the sheep have had more special attention, even at night, than at birthing time. And I've heard times from anywhere from February to early April that this season was. I'm not sure which it is. I haven't gotten that far. Scholars aren't agreed on that either. But with the shifting of the month Adar and the movement of their year, it varied from year to year by a number of days as to when this birthing took place. Cooper P. Abrams, in another article, writes, "Where was the birthplace of the Lord Jesus? Typically, Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock at Bethlehem, is the perfect place for Christ to be born. He was born in the very birthplace where tens of thousands of lambs which had been sacrificed to prefigure him. God promised it, pictured it, and performed it at Migdal Eder. It all fits together, for that's the place where sacrificial lambs were born. Jesus was not born behind an inn, in a smelly stable where the donkeys or travelers and other animals were kept. He was born in Bethlehem at the birthing place of the sacrificial lambs that were offered in the temple in Jerusalem, which Micah 4:8 calls the Tower of the Flock." Another article called "The Bible Story About the Birth of Jesus" by Steve Rudd says, "Was Jesus born during the lambing season? There is a tradition that Bethlehem was in fact the very town where the Jerusalem Passover lambs were born and raised. This is quite credible, considering the fact that David, through inspiration, created a whole new spiritual system with the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built. David was also a shepherd and was given he was king, would logically choose his birth town, the city of David, Bethlehem, to be the place that raised such important lambs for their annual Day of Atonement on Nisan the 14th, when the high priest would take the blood and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant. If this is true, then it is possible that Jesus was born in the very manger where the actual Passover lambs were born. The lambing season for sheep, according to this guy, was in February in Israel. It is an interesting suggestion that Jesus, being the Lamb of the world, was born at exactly the same time the literal lambs were born. If so, then Jesus was born when the lambs were born, and he died when the Passover lamb was slaughtered on Nisan 14th. In another article from the internet called "Why We Believe Jesus Was Born on Passover," which is a little later than the date I give it, I quote this: "Considering how the seasons of the year affect the behavior of the sheep and the shepherds, it seems reasonable to conclude that the shepherds in the Judean hills would be keeping watch over their flocks at night in the spring, and that therefore the spring was the likely time of the birth of the Messiah." Another article says, "Whilst many commentators who have remarked on the impossibility of Messiah being born 25th December because of the shepherds have opted for an autumnal, that's fall, birth, they have invariably overlooked one vital piece of information, which in my opinion gives us an important key to a spring birth for the Messiah, namely the fact that spring is the lambing season. In Israel and in surrounding lambing nations, lambing occurs over a two-week period from late March to early April. During this season, the flocks require the constant attention of their shepherds, who keep careful watch over their sheep and their newborn for their own safety. At no other time of the year are shepherds so closely tied to their flocks." End quote. Well, the lambs were born, likely in a span of about 2 weeks. That's my next task, to find out when were these, when Christ, in Christ's day. And somewhere in that time, Jesus would have been born. With the fluctuation of the month Adar 1 and Adar 2, it is a clear possibility from Luke 3:23 that Jesus was born during the time the sacrificial lambs were born. The little we know of the place where Jesus was born in the gospel accounts from the gospel writer Luke, he says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And he also tells us there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. They didn't do that a lot of the year. So this fits well with the prophecies of Micah and with a spring birth. By the way, I just listened to some of David Hawking on a tour. Some of our relatives went on, and he said, just matter-of-factly, he said, Jesus was born Tishri the first in 2 BC. As a matter of fact, no question about it. And I want in the last few moments tell you, most people have come to a fall birth for Christ in the festival season in the fall. And I want to just talk a little bit about that. So I want to make one more point. I think that most who have studied the birth of Christ probably have come to the month of Tishri or the fall of the year. The first of Tishri is the New Year's Day of Israel's civil calendar, Nisan, the New Year's Day of the religious calendar. The first day of Tishri commemorates the first day of creation. The Jewish civil calendar began, so they hold, at creation. How do scholars come to this fall date? They do so by reckoning from the course of Abijah in which John the Baptist's father served, just before his wife Elizabeth conceived. They determine from that when John would have been born and go forward 3 months, since we are told Mary conceived 3 months later. From that, one comes to the birth date of Christ. Now, there are two very important things that those who come to a fall birth date seem to miss. First, there were 24 courses of priests in the Jewish Levitical system. They all served for 2 weeks in a year, but they did not serve for two consecutive weeks in a row. They served twice in a year, about 6 months apart. So if we date Christ's birth from the birth of John the Baptist and the time Zechariah served in the course of Abijah, we may well come to the fall of the year. But on the very same ground, we could date it from the second time the course of Abijah served, which was 6 months later. That is in the springtime of the year. If Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was serving in the second service, then Jesus would have been born 6 months later than the fall date. That would mean that Christ was not born in the fall, but in the spring. That date is just as possible, based on the course of Abijah, as the fall date. Thus, if Jesus was born in the spring, the dating from the course of Abijah still matches. Now, I want to give you something that is very interesting to me. Turn to Luke chapter 6. And I am almost done. Luke chapter 6. Let me read verse 1. Now, it happened on the second Sabbath after the first. It happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain field. The New King James says it, as I just read it, and if this verse is translated literally, it reads like this. Now it happened on the second first Sabbath. Now it happened on the second first Sabbath. Now you can see, nobody who's translated is going to translate like that. What does that mean? Well, there were 24 courses of priests. Each served for 1 week, going into the service on the Sabbath and going out on the next Sabbath, but these 24 courses served twice a year. The first course began service on the first month of the religious year, Nisan. You can read all that in the Old Testament, but on the seventh month, they started all over again. So it has been suggested that the first Sabbath in the second 6 months was called the second first Sabbath. So you have the second first Sabbath, the second Sabbath, the second third Sabbath. You see, the priests would have known exactly what you're talking about. And I believe that Zechariah served in the second half of the religious year, and this would indicate that Jesus was born when the lambs were born. The second matter those who come to a fall date miss is that at no time would shepherds have watched their sheep at night more carefully than in the springtime, at birthing time. Anybody who farmer knows that. So in conclusion, I had for some time come to believe that Jesus was born when the sacrificial lambs were born. The only thing I could base that on was that so many other things regarding the sacrificial lambs and Christ were precisely the same. But when I found that Christ's baptism and John chapters 1 and 2 are so closely connected, I found my first evidence for the possibility that he was born in the spring. I might add here as well that most scholars note that Jesus began his ministry at about 30 years of age. That was the age at which the priest in the Old Testament began to minister. So his ministry began a few days after his testing by Satan. So his 40 days of temptation may have begun some 40 days before that. And so Luke speaks of when Jesus began to be about. All of this allows for Jesus to have been born exactly when the lambs were born. And so this morning we have examined the words of Dr. Luke in 3:23 when he said Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. My conclusion is that it gives very strong evidence that Jesus was born in the springtime of the year. And I want you to go to John 1 one more time. I found it interesting that Dan had chosen to mention these verses this morning. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then 35 and 36, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He was indeed the Lamb of God. This is my conclusion. He was born when the lambs were born. He was born where the lambs were born. He was swaddled like the lambs were swaddled. At his death, he traveled the path the lambs traveled to Jerusalem. He entered the gate the sheep entered. He was tested for 4 days when the lambs were being tested for defects. No fault was found in him, as any sacrificial lamb had to have no faults. He was condemned to die for others, though no fault was found in him, just like the sacrificial lambs. He died by shedding his blood, just as the lambs died. He died exactly when the lambs died. Behold. We commemorate this morning the birth of Christ. It doesn't matter if we're off date. Christ was born. And I believe this adds such significance to Christ as the Lamb of God. So may God bless you as you think through that.